did four.
Okay.
So we do have mail it.
Well, two was installed on Monday. We ran testing, back tees. We're waiting on the results to come back so we can put it back in service. And well four will be installed tomorrow and hope to run back tees on it on Friday and have it in service on Monday next week.
Great. All right.
No hiccups?
So far, so good. Yep.
Okay. Well, with that, we'll move to discussion items E1 on MPDS permit.
We had a discussion on any of these items last week or 2 weeks ago before we moved the agenda. So the first one, NPDS permit, we're still waiting on a permit to come back. But the master plan team has identified an issue that we had brought up to the regional board previously by letter on the ammonia limit. As they're going through the design or thinking of the process for the nitrate removal, in conjunction with nitrate, we talk about nitrogen all the time. We also have an ammonia limit that's pretty strict. We don't have problems meeting it right now because we only have to meet ammonia, but when we have to meet both together, the ammonia limit's going to come into play. So we had previously sent letters to the regional board asking for relief on the ammonia limit, and I haven't heard back from them on any of those letters about if they're really going to do anything or not. So just as a heads up, I'm calling the regional board. We haven't seen the draft permit yet, but I'm calling the regional board to talk over our ammonia limit and see if I can get a little relief on the ammonia limit. But those are the two action items. They're supposed to give us a draft permit back sometime this month. But ahead of that, I'm going to call them and see if they've addressed this ammonia limit issue that we've written to them about previously.
You said give it back to us this month, May? May.
Right, yeah. So that's the schedule right now. Now it comes back to us draft. We have like 2 weeks to comment back to them, and then they issue their final if they're going to change anything before they go to the board in July.
So there's a big difference in a Walbert permit with an hour and what it's going to.
In the amount of
both. Yeah, and then nitrogen both. So there's total nitrogen and then there's ammonia. So we have two limits that are both nitrogen related. One's ammonia and one's total nitrogen. So that's on that. UV disinfection, we talked about last time, we're going to drop it because we don't think it's too big an issue. It's just going to be addressed as part of the master plan in terms of things to take place. I'd like to come back on denitrification because there's several topics to talk about that. I'd like to jump ahead to the diffusers ahead of time. So we had a meeting with the Army Corps of Engineers. Worley Parsons is working to submit the permit applications to the Army Corps and this fishing game, etc. However, in the meeting with the Army Corps of Engineers, they said they wanted to review in-house about whether they want a CEQA document done in time to accompany our permit application to the Army Corps. And they basically kind of said, the President's got us working on a different project, right, the California Water Project, and so we're not going to be able to look at this application for 3 months anyway. That's why it's not happening this year in terms of us going forward. But that brought up a need is normally the town, I'll say Virgil was somebody, I don't know who, has kind of done their own CEQA work, California Environmental Quality Act work, where you need a NEG-DEC, right, or mitigating NEG-DEC, or a full-blown EIR. The Army Corps is saying that we need a mitigated NEG-DEC for this project. It seemed a bit much to me why we couldn't get by with a NEG-DEC, but that's just splitting hairs. But the reality is someone is supposed to prepare a CEQA document that satisfies CEQA, whether it's a NEG-DEC or a mitigating NEG-DEC. Traditionally, the town has just kind of done that activity. I don't know who does it, but it's never cost very much, and I don't know how it got done. But Virgil sometimes filled it out himself and just filed it, and other times he didn't. Now, there's nothing wrong with like on a negative declaration, you just check the boxes and say, I have no impacts, and you put it on the street. If nobody complains, you file it with the county and it's done. The difference here is we have to send this to the Army Corps of Engineers. I'm not sure they're going to take just check boxes checked off. And then I'm also looking down the road for the nitrate project. The nitrate project, we'll need a CEQA document for it too and such. So I'm not sure now that Virgil's left what the plan is for how we want to do these little CEQA projects, you know, where we got to do a CEQA document related to what we're doing. This just happens to be the first one that's kind of come up. Worley Parsons has given us a proposal to do it, and they're happy to do it for us. They've given us a proposal of $27,000. It seems a lot to me. And traditionally, you guys have done them a lot cheaper. Now you did them yourself. And like I said, you guys doing a neg deck and filling out the paperwork and putting it on the street for 30 days and no one gave a shit, and then you filed it with the county, no big deal. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, this particular one's going to get a little more scrutiny than that, though, because it's got to go to Fish and Game and the Army Corps of Engineers. So people are required to look at it and see, you know, what's in there.
Why don't we use the past procedure? I know it has to go to the Army Corps, but there's one to tell us what we're deficient.
Yeah, we certainly can do that. I just don't know who that was, or I don't know who that was, or what process it was. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, Ian Virgil hasn't left.
I think the process was Virgil was filling out the forms himself and putting them on the street. I think that's what the process was.
Changing the line up.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, but we have projects. Special projects person with Mike DeLacco reporting in a couple of weeks. I think that's something we need to put him on and see if he's able to do that.
Mm-hmm. So we did it. One thing also, Kathy happened to fill one out twice for us, like when we did the metal building and some other ones. But again, she just checked off the paperwork. And I mean, if it's not a complex project, you can just check off the boxes and put something out and call it a day. But I just didn't know if we ought to get more organized about, okay, you know, Virgil's gone, we're going to need to do more of these going forth. You know, every year we'll probably have to do one or two of these, I suspect. You know, what do we want to do for our process to accomplish this?
I'm not very concerned about, you know, small projects.
Yeah.
And doing it in-house or whatever. So I would think if we get a hold of Virgil, find out what he did in the past.
Uh-huh.
And on those small projects, try it. Again, on this one here, send it to him and see what they tell us. Yeah, using our in-house engineers.
They're basically saying they can't work on it for 3 months.
All right, so we have 3 months.
So we got 3 months to kick out something. Now, if people haven't, so Mike Garak is an engineer. He ran a district. He may not have done CEQA work. I don't know.
He told me he has.
Okay. So if he's familiar with it, and we're going to do the checkboxing and
but if
some
he's
other
not,
things,
we'll go to another plan B.
Then we'll go to plan B then. All right. So at the moment, then. Army Corps has asked for us not to give them the permit application without the CEQA document. So Worley Parsons is going to finish up the permit application and then stop. And then we'll have to develop this CEQA document to go with it for them to submit. Okay?
All right.
So that's what's going on with the diffusers. The O&M manual.
What did you say?
I'm going to come back to that because it's more complex. So I want to get to the easy ones first. Okay. O&M manual, we have 5 to 3, right? To review?
Yeah, I just need the same thing.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Okay. So we have 5 chapters. Virgil's reviewed them. I'm in for Bernie. If we get those back, I'll send those off. And we're a little over halfway through it. I do want to bring up one thing that we've corrected. Last meeting, we thought that they had spent $170,000 on the O&M manual. Mm-hmm. And they actually had it, right? After I checked on that, we're still resolving that bookkeeping on our part. Yeah, so in the last meeting, it was said that they'd spent $170,000, which would be the majority of the contract. It didn't sound right to me, so I had them verify that, and they haven't spent that much. They spent around $100,000, $110,000, or something like that. So they're about right relative to the number of manuals they've given us.
And timelines are on track.
Well, we're a little behind. We wanted it done by July 1st. You know, we're half done, but we're probably late summer to finish, I think. They're kicking out more chapters now. Okay, so that's the status on the O&M manual. Okay, so denitrification. We did emergency data. We collected more data. All right. What we hoped is that two people at least would agree and point out the third guy, right? Well, in some cases, all three of them agreed on the ammonia number. They all three disagreed on what the total nitrogen was, and they all three disagreed on what VOD was.
You made it more confusing.
So data is data. Everyone's like, oh, we have bad data. It's like, data is data. These are all data points about what it could be. What we decided to do is say, we've collected enough data. We can't go back and pound more data. It isn't going to take us anywhere. We're just going to design the plant with a range of values. It's like, hey, it's pretty clear. You know, it's either between here and here. We need to be able to accept this range of values. Probably for the total nitrogen number, we're going to go with the one that's reasonable. So one was zero, like we have none, and the other one was three times the number that the other guy was, and then we have one guy in the middle. So we're going to go in the middle, long or short of it. So they're going to be working on that memo, which we're calling the flows and loads, which is the official basic wastewater characterization of what's entering the treatment plant that is the basis of everything that falls after. Okay, so the reason it's important is because if people come back and say, why did you do this or why did you do that? Why did you spend this money and why you didn't? It's because you're saying, this is what we thought came in the treatment plant at the time. This is what we had to treat to get it done.
Yeah, how could one of the firms come in with zero?
Well, it was something. So FGL was measuring total nitrogen less than ammonia. Well, ammonia has the nitrogen in it already, so you can't be less than ammonia. But they were coming in a little bit less than ammonia. We called them, and they didn't know why and this stuff. Caltest came back and said total nitrogen was three times the amount of ammonia. Said that ain't right either. And then McCampbell came back and said ammonia was about 1.3 times the amount. That total nitrogen was about 1.3 times ammonia, which is the normal that makes sense. It's like you have some other nitrogen that's not ammonia related, but you don't have tons of it. It's not three times. And you know it's not less. So anyway, we end up at Caltest, which is very close to the book number. It's a little bit higher than the book number. And like, okay, then this is what we're going to go to. So we basically are going to take the data, bracket the numbers, and say they're in this range, and this range has got to be considered for design. So, you know, the low number might be true, and the high number might be true, and our design needs to be robust enough to handle this variability in the flow. That's all we can do at this point in time, and we're moving forward. So we're working on that memo now. I talked to Jeff at Stantec for about 4 hours on Monday, and we're hashing out what the implications and how we move forward. I'd like to get a memo to you guys in a couple weeks. Now, the importance of this is they really can't move forward with the rest of the plan until we get some sort of buy-off on what we're producing and this is what we're going to do and this is the flow we're getting from the community and things like this. So there's two elements, how much nitrogen, how much ammonia is in the wastewater, how much food, BOD, remember the food and BOD is in the wastewater, and then what's the total flow we're supposed to have? Total flow. So I'd like to get this memo in front of this committee as soon as possible, and I really don't want to wait till June 1st, which would be when the next meeting is. I don't want to wait a whole month.
This committee can't make a decision on that. You're looking for a decision or blessing.
When we say decision, we're giving you the technical recommendation. You know, we're coming forth with a technical recommendation. You know, this is your opportunity to ask questions, understanding the meaning behind the numbers, and have your input. This is your chance to say, you don't need to prove these numbers. They're not your numbers. The engineering, these engineers are coming forth saying, these are your numbers. These are what we recommend. And I'll give you a little preview of what this means for you, you know, kind of thing. But you guys as a committee wanted to have input on this plan as it comes along. Picking characterizations of flows and loads is important, you know, because 3 months from now when we come back and we have some answers on some things and there's cost dollars associated with them, and they say, well, how did we get here? We started with this memo. This is how we got here. This is the memo that we're starting with.
The question I have on, we have the three numbers for ammonia. If we're going to design for the three times as much,
we're not. Yeah, I it's too high. So,
right.
Yeah.
I said you're going to take one in the middle.
Right.
So we've got to be able to meet.
So I'm going to bracket the middle and the bottom one.
Right. Well, my thought is that someday we have to get that much out of it.
It's not possible.
Okay, it's not possible.
It's not possible.
Okay. My concern was, what does that do to cost?
Yeah, it kills you. You can't afford your plan, is what it does to your cost.
So, Gregory, this is, waste plants have been around for a long time. They've got firms that will give us measurements. measurement should be calibrated using calibrated equipment.
You think?
So you get three different readings, so different from each other in an industry that has been around for ages.
Hey.
I find that hard.
So do we. Okay, let's put it this way. These tests that we're doing are not complicated tests.
Yeah.
They're BOD, they're ammonia, they're TKN. They've been around forever in wastewater.
Samples being taken side by side.
Not just side by side, it's the same sample. It's the same water. It's not side by side, it's the same water. We're sending one to, you can tell them.
If you look at the total numbers, they're pretty close. Some of the lab did have some high numbers. If you take those out, at the end, they're all average pretty close. Like on the ammonia, you got a range between...
Ammonia's pretty good.
You got a range between 38 and 40 on all three. So you're right there. On the TKN, a little bit higher, which it should be. If you take all 14 samples and average them, they're pretty close. But there were some spikes on some of them that are real high and some that were real low. If you take those out, they're all pretty average, pretty close. But the issue we run into with these samples is that we had one lab who, Veolia's contract lab, comes out and does their sampling. The other two contractors did not. They did not have a sampler. They did not have nothing. So we were pulling their samples and splitting them for them. After that, we don't know what happened.
Yeah.
So, one lab did not work on the weekend, so sample set for 3 days before they were ran. Some of them have holding times. After holding time, you're theoretically not supposed to use that number. But overall, since we're just doing data point, it really didn't matter. But from a compliance point, if you're out hold time, you can't count it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you take some of the high numbers out, some of the low numbers, they're pretty close.
Right.
It's just why we have those high numbers, they just don't understand.
Right. So as a lab operator, you're comfortable with the data that you see?
It's what we got.
It's this data we got.
Yeah.
We're moving forth with the data we got. We're going to write up a memo with the data we got. So there's two elements. How much ammonia or total nitrogen or food is in the water? Those are the three big numbers. The other element is how much flow you have. All right, so we haven't talked about it much, but I'll just take briefly about it for a second. So the total pounds of loading, like how many pounds of food or pounds of ammonia, is the concentration times the flow. That gives you pounds. And pounds is what the plant's designed on. It's pounds per day. We design for pounds of ammonia a day or pounds of food a day. That's what we designed to. So the way we get there is we measure all these concentrations, and then we measure the flow. We multiply the two numbers together. There's our pounds. Okay. So there's two elements that are tricky about this master plan. The first is, are our concentrations accurate? And when we did a quick test in January, we thought, we'll just check these numbers and make sure it's all right. Then we ran into problems, and we retested. But we're as far down the road as we're going to test. This is it. We're going with these numbers. Okay. The next element of the plan is, what's our flow going to be? Okay, so when we did the plan in 2013, we were flowing 1.8 million gallons a day. Now we're averaging about 1.35, you said?
Yeah, about 1.3.
All right, so now we're about 1.3 million gallons a day. Half a million gallons a day disappeared. It didn't just happen in Discovery Bay, it happened all the way up and down the Central Valley. Through the drought and the recession, everybody's flow went down, everybody's. Okay. So it wasn't just us. Everyone's doing water restrictions. Everybody's doing, drought, and then the economy too. If for whatever reason the economy turns it down, maybe businesses are not running the water as much or whatever's going on. Okay. The question that we're going to have, I'm just going to tee up because I don't have an answer for it. Okay. But it's very easy for me as an engineer to say, this is your concentration today. This is your population today that produces this much flow. I multiply those two numbers. And that's it. That's your deal. The question I have for you is, I'm not in a crystal ball. I can't predict the future. And if flows and loads go back to what they were in 2008 or 2013, then what's going to happen? So the question is going to be, we set up the original master plan to build the build out of Discovery Bay. And in 2013, we did an update in 2013. In 2011, we took data from 2009 through 2011 for the 2013 master plan, 2012 master plan. So we took the first 5 years' data, but it's right through the recession and all that, but it hadn't slowed down yet. But now flows are all down. So the question is going to be, we designed the master plan for build out of Discovery Bay. That's what the original goal of it was, is for all the parcels that were in Discovery Bay that you guys are going to build this once, and you know that all the parcels are picked up. Everything Hoffman wanted and Pantages and all the, and then all the infill parcels and everybody were all supposed to be picked up. Okay. At some point, we have to pick and say, what's the flow going to be? And the question's going to be, well, what flow are we using? We're using the one from 5 years ago, or we're using the one today? And I can use the one from today, but then what happens if the flow goes back to what it was 5 years ago, or goes halfway back to what it was 5 years ago? And at the same time, they're talking about new drought regulations and new water regulations to make it even tighter. They're talking about reducing the amount of quantity per person per day on the water side, which would affect the wastewater side. So there's going to be a level of, we have a permit right now that's set for 2.37 million gallons a day based upon what we developed in the previous master plan. All the parcels added up times the flow per, I'll say the flow per person that we were getting before, add in all the rest of the people, it's 2.37. That's what you need. That's what you needed, that's what we got a permit for. As we go forth in this memo, the next key part of this memo that we've got to sort of resolve is, what is our flow per capita going to be? The old number or the current number? Or some number in between? I know we had measurements of the old number, we have measurements of the new number, and any number in between is just a guess of what the future is going to hold. How are people's water habits going to change? How is the economy going to change? What's going to happen? You know, I mean, water use is going back up a little bit now because, you know, the drought's been over and people are starting to water the lawns again, and but they're also using more water in the house, too. They stopped worrying about water for as much when it isn't talked about every single day. You know, you also have flow meters on now, and they're paying for their water, too, and that affects what's going to happen. I don't have a good answer for this. Well, the engineering answer is, I would say I play it safe, and we hold 2.37. That's the safe answer.
You built out, it's bigger, it dropped. So you said 1.8.
Yeah, it was 1.8 5 years ago before you added these homes.
Right. If it were to hit 1.7 and we built out to 1.2 or 1.3 where we're running, we'd have been in worse shape, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, say your question again.
So if you would have built out to 1.3, which is what we're running,
right.
1.2,
yeah.
1.3, and it moved up to 1.7,
right.
Is that worse than being at 1.7?
Yeah, that means you're violating.
Yeah,
that means we didn't put enough plant in.
So 1.8, we're safe.
Well, the 1.8 number is kind of safe. Okay, but remember, you're not done building out yet.
Yeah, I understand.
Right?
So you've got to reset the calibrations. You know, you've got to reset everything.
Well, so the fundamental question is going to be, is you have an NPDES permit for 2.37 MGU. 5 years ago, that calculated everybody in the town and you're all good. Okay. Now, if we change that number at all, what's our basis for changing the number? And then, how safe are we going to be? And then there's permitting completions of that too, because eventually, someone's got to certify the plant for treating all this stuff and treating it at a certain capacity. Okay.
My question is, where is the tipping point in which version of the plant? Of the process we're talking about, because we have an in-ox ditch process, mm-hmm. and then we have a separate process. Where does the number, what is the highest number that can be processed if we're going in the in-ox ditch process?
Right, so that's where I was, so that's a good question. So right now, we'll say simply, your oxygenation ditches are sized for 2.37 MGD, assuming you keep plant number one so you can take a ditch out of service, okay, and you can run the 2.37 through the two plants, and you can take a plant out of service. The question that we're sort of facing is, do you build the denitrification porosities to match that capacity? Do you match them? Or do you bring this one down and build something smaller to save money up front? I mean, that's really the question. We build something smaller to save money now and say, well, this was built for 2.37. We build this for 1.8, let's say. And we're going to let this capacity fall. I mean, this has got more capacity than this does, but this is only good for 1.8. But the whole, if any piece of the train is only good for 1.8, the whole train is only good for 1.8, right? So if any piece of the process can't handle it, that's your limit on your plant. right? And so the question is, you can't go back and make this bigger later. You know, we're going to jam horn, we're going to shoehorn this in, we're going to put shoring in, we're going to jam whatever we can get in again. We can't fix this later. And so the question is, you know, for the 20-year life of, you know, all these facilities, and actually once you put concrete in the ground, it's a 30 or 40-year life. You know, it's a 40-year life on these bases for Life Discovery Bay. You know, what is going to happen? We don't know, right? You know, where are we going to be safe? What's going to happen? What we have is two numbers. We have our permit for the plant at 2.37. We have an old flow at 1.8. And if we added that at homes in, you count up to 2.37. And we have a new flow, 1.35. And if I add all the homes in, see, I get back to 1.8, something like that, right? I get back to 1.8. You know, so the difference now is the difference between 2.37 and 1.8. Where, you know, are we really going to back down off of 2.37?
My question would be, I'd like to see the incremental difference in the overall costs.
All right.
That's
okay.
We're watching the money.
Okay, that's good, but that's back end. I agree with that, but it's back end to how we do it. Normally we say, this is what our mission is. This is what we have to accomplish. Flows and loads. And then I say, this is what you need. What you're really saying is, well, let's be flexible up here.
What I want to say is, let's assume we go and we keep it 2.37.
Right.
Yeah. That's going to cost
X.
This.
Yes.
Now, let's say that we go to 1.8. That's right. Going to cost this.
Right.
And everything in between is going to cost. I need to know the difference. How wide right. is that? If it's $500,000, it's no brainer.
Yeah.
Go that way. If it's
okay.
$5 million, then we've got a problem.
All right.
And how much would it be if our flows were to go above 1.8, put in an extra...
Can't. Certain things. Certain things. Once we take up the real estate, you're not fitting anything. You're building a new plant somewhere else. I mean, I can only make it, you know, once, you know, because let's say I can build it 5 feet wider now. Once I don't build it 5 feet wider, I can't come back in and add 5 feet. You know what I mean? It's
so
not going to be practical.
You got to remove one of the obstacles and do more clarifiers.
Well, correct. Okay, but that was your last real estate for expansion for someone like these guys over here, you know, at Private Island. Not Private Island, but Chiquini Ranch, right? You know, I mean, that is your last point of real estate. Now, clearly, I mean, certainly space can be taken up, but the whole point was, at the moment, we're not going to expand your oxidation ditches. We built your oxidation ditches, you got plenty of oxidation ditches, you're itching to nitrification capacity. But the reality is, what he's saying is, I would hate to have to build out a whole oxidation ditch and a whole denitrification project and a whole another third train just because we were short of a couple hundred thousand MG, you know, gallons. You
right.
know, kind of thing.
Right. We've got to look at it. I got to justify going bigger
right.
when our numbers don't say we need bigger.
Right.
And the only way I can do that to the general public is to know the numbers.
What the relative risk was. Okay.
Correct.
All right. So I understand that. All right. So
what
would likely mean is we won't find all the flows and loads memo. We'll come out with a draft, and maybe we carry the two numbers and say we'll kind of walk these two numbers through the process until we get farther along and get a little more about what's coming on down the road. Then we can see what happens.
Give us this memo. When you have, can you have some numbers in it, dollars and cents?
Well, not in the memo, but I have some general discussion about that today also. Okay, so.
All right, we keep that as a separate item. But when we get to the middle, we have those financial sides of it.
Yeah, so I really can't give you hard numbers on anything yet.
I understand.
Yet.
I just
okay.
see the range. The 1.8 will probably be between here and here, and the 2.37
yeah.
will be between here
yeah.
and here. That's good enough for now.
All right. I'll do my best to see what I can do on that, because we haven't completed that analysis, and we're starting with what we need to do, and then, you know, we haven't completed that analysis.
Now, you work on the master plan. What numbers are you putting in the master plan?
Well,
that's
our point of view.
That's what
we have to approve.
Well, we have to send the board. We have
to discuss. So the numbers, the master plan is built on individual memos
yes.
that build on each other.
Yes.
The first memo, the tech memo that comes out, is, hey, we looked at your wastewater, we looked at your community, these are the flows and loads that we are saying is going to be the basis of the master plan.
Yes.
It doesn't have any discussion about cost yet. It's just about the science. We looked
exactly.
at these numbers. We looked at your flow. This is what you're supposed to have. Okay. What we're saying is there's some crystal ball stuff in the flow end of this. It's bad enough I got TKN all over the place. Okay. It's bad enough. I'm going to sort through that. No matter what, I can't sort through my crystal ball. I'm not a future reader, you know.
We get it.
Yeah.
But you use all the data that you have.
Whatever you got, based on the data we have, this is your best guesstimate.
Right. Okay.
After looking at all the things.
Right. Now, the other thing is that's important is this is not a board actionable item. I mean, we're bringing forth data to you guys. We're bringing forth tech memos. This is so that everyone's informed about what's happening, because what we did not want to do is get to the end of the program and people feel like we don't understand how we got here.
Right.
But only the cleats do that.
That's okay. We'll sell.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, so at any rate, what I would like to do is kick a memo in the middle of the month sometime, and I don't know if you want to wait on that, because obviously we have questions we want to keep pushing on the master plan. Right. I mean, we can wait till the next meeting, or we can have a special meeting. I didn't know if you wanted to.
I have no problem with special. If it keeps you on track and it gives you the feedback you need, I don't have any problem.
All right. So we should plan on a special meeting in the middle, but I'll know more after I get another week. But at any rate, expect a request for a special meeting. Okay.
You won't have it on Friday.
No.
Good.
I assume it'd be Wednesday.
Saturday, I can do Saturday.
All right, so that's the discussion of the data. We're done taking data. You know, we did get meaningful data. Got some crazy numbers too. We're going to sort through it, and this is where we're at. We're done. Okay. And we talked through the implications of data. Now, one of the things that's come up is the sort of question that we were trying to get to, which was, hey, are we going to be able to do the cheap version of this plan, or is this going to be the expensive version of this plan? Right. So that was the first, like, so I worked on this for a whole day with StanTech, and we talked the ins and outs, all right? So there were, in the original master plan, there were two processes evaluated for removing the nitrogen. One was called simultaneous denitrification, denitrification, and one was called separate anoxic basins, okay? So basically two processes. The simultaneous nitrification, denitrification uses your existing ditch and all the existing infrastructure you have and a bunch of fancy controls, and basically tries to control your oxidation ditch really, really, really well to do it, okay? The downside of that process is it guarantees you lose about 25% of your capacity because you haven't built any new oxidation or any new denitrification basins. Then we have the separate anoxic basin that builds separate basins. The advantage of that is it's more bulletproof and it doesn't take away your capacity because we're building the extra capacity in front, essentially, of what we're doing, all right? So we've looked into the two processes again, and the decisions that were made 5 years ago, and say, well, okay, why did we make this decision 5 years ago to separate anoxic basins, and why are we doing this here? The number one rule, the number one overriding thing is simultaneous nitrification, denitrification has worked at some plants with plug flow reactors, which is a different kind of basin than we have, but they also had more relaxed ammonia limits. That's why the ammonia limit is important, okay? As we came back into our process, specifically for oxidation ditch, the oxidation ditch is a complete mixed reactor, and we're basically saying there really isn't going to work to try and do simultaneous 99. You can get the nitrogen down, but we don't think we can reliably meet the ammonia limit that we have in the permit, trying to do it all in one basin. That's separate from, you're also going to take a 25% hit in capacity. Okay, so the real decision maker that was originally trying to be made is, can we reduce the capacity of the plant because we have new flows and loads? Can we take the reduction in capacity and do it all in the ditch? We're looking at it saying, even if you're willing to accept the 25% deration on the plant and do it all in the ditch, we don't think you can reliably meet your ammonia limit and your total 10-9 limit all in one reactor at the same time. Now, right now, yeah, so right now, we meet the ammonia limit, fine, but we don't do the total nitrogen. We're all to one side of the equation. You have to balance it. So right now we're all over here. So we meet ammonia just fine, but as soon as we try and do D9 and ammonia all in the same ditch, we don't think you're going to be able to reliably meet the 0.7. That's the lowest, by the way, of any plant I know of. The 0.7 limit you have is lower than any plant around here.
Yeah. And we're going from 10 to 0.7.
So they put the other way, the highest restriction. Most complex process.
Yes.
Put it into our situation.
Yes.
Above everybody else.
Correct.
That's correct.
And you have the lowest technology ditch.
Yeah.
Other plants have a much more sophisticated process than you guys have. You guys have a very, very reliable when it was built for your needs, a very reliable, simple to run product. But it's not a race car, it's a Chevy. It's not a race car, it's a Chevy. It's very easy, you turn it on, you run it, it works great, right? But now we're trying to make this Chevy act like a race car, and that's why we're saying it isn't going
to
happen.
Yeah, and I agree with you then, now knowing what we're talking about, to discuss that, see what they say.
At the regional board.
And I'm all in favor also, because if we need, as a board, to go to Sacramento and confront that board and justify why we are the lowest one in all of the city.
That's right, exactly.
So I'm prepared to do that.
All right. So there's...
I want you to clean up the old river.
All right, so there's implications to our permit on the design of the master plan. The master plan has to meet the permit. I mean, the master plan meets the permit. So right now, as we look at it, it's pretty clear to us we're not doing the cheap version of this plan. You guys need to accept that.
And when
right
you
now.
Say that, that's a $2 million.
Yeah, we're not doing this. We're not doing this for $2 million.
You told us last meeting that it's more like $8 million.
Yeah, and after that last week, I went back to these guys and said, let's at least try and give them a preview. You know, we don't have all the numbers yet, but. We do have the estimates from the previous master plan. The previous master plan had $8 million for 2.37 MGD, you know, the whole process. That's what it was. But now we've gone back and looked at it again and said, even if you take the D rate, if you accepted that, we still have a problem meeting the permit, and we can't guarantee you can reliably meet the permit, which is we can't recommend that as an engineering firm. Okay. So that's just a heads up on where we're going.
So, are you saying that my understanding of the number, we're not at the $8 million, but $12 million?
No, all right, so just to clarify what Bernie talked about last time. We talked about denitrification as a single project.
Yeah, I understand all that.
That was going to be 2 or 8. In the master plan, when we previously estimated, it was 2 or 8, okay, in the previous master plan for just denitrification, okay? So, I'm saying denitrification is probably more like 8 than 2. Okay, now, separate from that, there are other projects that are on CIP for the wastewater plant that are going to now end up being done pretty much at the same time. And that included any improvements to Plant 1. Now, that decision to keep Plant 1 has not been made yet. But if we pull that trigger, it's $3 to $4 million for Plant 1 to maintain it in service enough to service our needs. That's how you get to
Plant 1. But that we should have reserves for some of that, correct?
I think Dina has reserves in her bank account for that.
We keep discussing Plant 1 at $1.5 million. That's what we have.
Oh, is it 1.5?
No,
okay. All right.
No.
It is what it is. The numbers in the CIP.
It's really $3 to $4 million, and we're not prepared for that. Because if we do a rate study next year, I need to know, is it $3 to $4 million? Or
it's not. It's the numbers in the CIP that we went over
so
last week.
$1.5 million.
Okay.
Now, is it going to be fully functioning and operational at 1.5, or are we going to down the road, like in a year, or as we're digging into it, find out that, oh, shoot, this will look like it's not enough? So that's kind of my concern again with Plant 1.
Yeah, so those are good. It's a good discussion. So we had a budget meeting last week,
yeah,
and we went through all the numbers. Okay. The projects for Plant 1 are lined out in the CIP already,
yes,
and they've been carried for a while. Okay.
And I remember the 1.5.
Yeah, so those projects are what we consider the minimum that would take place to keep Plant 1 as a backup plant,
okay,
to allow you to do maintenance on Plant 2. So right now, if you take a ditch down, you got to send the water somewhere. You don't have enough capacity to take down enough for a Plant 1 that you can do repair work and stuff like that, right? So if Plant 1 is going to be a backup facility in Plant 2, you don't need to spin it up like a race car. We just need to fix it so that it operates properly and then maintain it as you go along. It isn't everything we recommend if you're going to put it in full-time service, and that was the compromise we made when we got down to 1.5. I think originally when we said if you were going to put it in a full-time service and run it all the time, I think originally there were 4 million improvements.
Yeah, we had 1.5, 4 million, and 7.8 million.
Yes.
It was something like that.
Right, and so what we said was we haven't made a decision. We're going to make it in this master plan about what happens to that plant once and for all. We kicked it around enough times. Okay.
I said last meeting that I'd love to see Plant 1 shut down, so I'd like to understand what the cost is. If we're going to put a million and a half in Plant 1,
yeah,
to bring it up to speed as a backup, it's crazy. Now, is it $3 or $4 million to do the same thing? So we've got real estate over Plant 2.
Yes.
So why don't we, whatever money we were going to put in there, let's put it in the
Moving everything, moving all the functionality of Plant 1 to plant two would mean build another third ditch and some more clarifiers over there.
Yes.
The in 2013 we studied that alternative, and it was like $10 million or something to rebuild what you have at plant one at plant two.
Well, I'm not saying to rebuild the whole plant. We only use part of the plant right now.
Well, we but let's put it away.
So
the part that you need, the part that you need as a backup is a ditch. You need an oxidation ditch. You need two clarifiers.
Which we're going to have to modify.
Well.
We have to modify.
Well, we're not changing the basins right now. We're just putting zones in front of them. We're building zones in front of them.
So if it's 10 million versus 1.5 million, obviously it's a simple decision. But, but I just don't. And on top of that, anytime we turn on plant one, we get complaints on overs.
Yeah. So there is good reason to readdress this as part of this master plan, which is we're doing. We've looked at it once before, but what we found before was if you're going to have a redundant oxidation ditch with two clarifiers that you can back up and take stuff in and out of service, that cost was more than maintaining this plant, maintaining plant one, by a lot, not a little bit, by a lot.
So
now, I have to agree with Bernie. It would be much nicer to shut down plant one. I'm all on board that it would be nicer. Okay. But it is definitely going to cost more to do that. Okay.
Well, So that's what we're trying to analyze.
Right. So now, anyway, so I don't think we're at 12 million right now. We're at 8 plus 1.5. That's your list.
Yeah,
that's your list.
S12.
All right, S12. Okay. So realistically, what we're trying to say is we're trying to prepare you guys for what you really seriously got to start thinking about. All right. That's what you need to start thinking about. We're not going to be able to be really cheap on this expansion. It's pretty clear. What we had hoped when we started the master plan is flows and loads have gone down a little bit. Maybe if we bit the bullet and said let's just go cheap, then we can do this process in the basin. But that was before we started building the permit limits and saying we know we're not going to be able to meet permit all in one basin. We need at least two zones to be able to separate the flow, to be able to properly treat the members as low as they want to treat.
The other crystal ball of this rate study, is there any way without hiring the guys yet to just do an assumption? We're going to spend $13 million on this thing. What's that plus whatever else we have? What does that do to our current rates? How much of an increase would that be?
If you don't need the pedigree,
A gallon or a dollar a gallon, just to see how big of a hit community would have to take.
It's separate. You need a set annual rate on our taxes for soon. So it would be whatever that increase is. It's like $900 or $1,000.
So the rate study, the two things that the rate study did.
We don't know what that increase, what it will increase to if we add another $13 million to our rate study year over year. How much will we have to increase that $1,000?
Right.
But it's not a simple increase either, because in that rate study we have to look at salary increases.
Oh yeah.
The other thing is, usually what we've done in the past with the rate study is there was also an assignment to new connections versus existing connections, right? So, for instance, let's say the town was completely built out. It's pretty simple. The math is very easy then. It's between $13 million, we had a 30-year bond or a 20-year bond, it's this much per month, divide by number of bills, there's your increase. They're very straightforward. But as soon as you say, well, I want to assign some of that to new growth and some of that to the existing facility, and I want connection fees to pay a portion of that, and then I want the remainder to be put on everybody else. That's some of the tasks that were taking place in the rate study.
That's not our utility rate study.
Right.
That's actually our capacity connection fees.
Right. Study.
So that's a different.
Right. The last time they did both at the same time.
We did both at the same time.
Two cycles ago. Okay, and it's not been updated since.
Rate study has.
But not the capacity connection fees. Right. So. It is very possible to do what you're saying, like, okay, we don't want to drag a whole consultant in and do all that stuff, we just want to do the math. If you're doing simple math, let's just spread it on everybody equally and divide out by the number, and it's this $13 million bond times this many years. That's straightforward. But the complexities come into when you're trying to sell to the community with this and that and all this stuff.
Well, I think by the time we do the rate study, plans, we have to make that decision ahead of time. We don't have that much more build up. You got 260, you got 300 units.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of connection feet left,
right,
is what you're saying.
Well, we got 67 four-point homes.
Right.
Plus, we have what was Pantages?
280 something.
So, we're in the 30s. And then I was just in a meeting in Supervisor Burgess's office today.
2,000.
We were looking at potentially putting in 2,000 homes over on the community plan.
Only 2,000?
Yeah. that would be 5, 6.
Well, that would be down, and they were told that they would be paying for
The whole point of the 2,000 would be that would be your third oxidation ditch. You need two more clarifiers and shove it all
up. Take up the rest of the 40.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So.
About when will that be happening?
Well, I don't even know that it will be happening. These are preliminary,
high in the sky stuff.
Well, because that might be good to consider. Maybe we don't upgrade plant one and we have an upgrade plant two and expand it to a third.
Yeah, the problem is if I had it, it'd be a year before they really figured out what they want to do. Because they're also looking at potentially doing some kind of a light industrial, commercial kind of stuff instead.
Right now,
one question about plan one. If you do spend $1.5 million, how long is that expected to work properly and last for?
If they maintain the equipment and operate it, periodically, you should get 20 years out of that. But you still have to maintain it. It's like paint. You still have to paint stuff, and you still got to run the equipment once in a while, and you got to operate it once in a while so that it's. It's equipment. It's equipment. You can't park your car in your garage for 20 years and then turn it on, right? You're going to have to do something to it, okay? So as long as you maintain it, the concrete, the electrical wiring, the equipment will function, but you have to run it once in a while and make repairs and do anything else, change the oil. You still got to do those kinds of things. So it isn't just that we have a capital expense, but there's going to be an ongoing operations expense to keep it, stuff like that. One thing about the rate study. In this NPDES permit we talked about last time, you have to get this rate study done by December 31st of this year.
What? No. You said a financing plan.
Financing plan. My mistake. Financing plan. Okay. Financing plan. Not the rate study. Financing plan. Now, that can include, part of the plan is we'll finish our rate study, all right? So you don't have to have a rate study. But you have to have a financing plan by December 31 of this year about how we're going to build
it. And what are we looking for in the financing plan?
It's whatever we call it, and say financing plan on the top. I mean, it is not complex.
I mean, do we have to tell them we plan to go off our bond?
Yes. Well, I mean, the plan should be realistic. Like, this is what we're going to do. If it's just go out for a bond and we'll adjust rates as needed, that could be your plan. I mean, your plan can literally be 3 cents. We're going to go out for bonds. We'll adjust the rates as needed, and that's what we're doing. And that can be your plan. But they want to know that you're planning for this project, and you actually have it, and the board is bought in. The board has approved that you guys are going to proceed a certain way to pay for this thing. That's what they want to know.
The sad thing is, we're already on the high end of the spectrum cost.
Right. So. Right. But you got to be careful though, because everybody's rates are established right now. So you look at Tracy, you look at us and Brentwood. Nobody is denitrifying right now. Brentwood isn't, Tracy isn't, nobody around you is. They all have to. That's coming for them. Their rates are going to change. Okay, so the community looks back at us like, oh, you guys are too expensive. First off, we're smaller than them, so per gallon, we're going to be more expensive. It's just the way it is. All right, we don't have the economy scale that they have for some of their facilities. Okay, but the second thing is they're not treating the same process right now. And as soon as they got to go treat our process, they're going to be more expensive too. Okay, but so everyone's got to understand that.
Not going to go down in the future.
Yeah. Everybody else's costs are going up too. Tracy's got the same permit limit we do, and they got the same time schedule. So they're literally running into the exact same thing that they do. They got to start doing the same thing that we're doing right now. The only one skating around you guys is Byron because they're just pathetic over there, and the court's just giving up on them. So, all right. So, anyway, so that's the update on D-Night. We got lots of talk about, as you can see, is the plan's getting hot and heavy now. We're going to get through data, and we're going to talk about real issues, and all those real issues mean dollars. It means where do we read it? It is harder on operations for Plant 1 to be there. I'm 100% with Bernie on that. There's also a certain dollar amount to move it, you know, and we'll talk about that again. And those are poor decisions about what you guys want to do with your money, you know, kind of thing. And then we had a financial plan by December 31st. But realistically, you guys are 10 to 12 million for all the group of projects that are floating around right now.
And I know we're a little off of something, but while we're talking about it, we're looking at security.
Yeah.
And we do build Plant 1.
That's separate, though. Yeah.
And then also, you mentioned Chiquini Ranch. They're not included in the master plan right now. They're like it's just an enigma out there. We ignore them.
We can't even think about it.
That's right. They show up. They're so big. They're so impactful. It's like, hey, show up. We'll worry about you then. But right now, we're not focused on you.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay, that's the update.
Okay, the one thing I want to
talk about the
reject water. That's my update on those five items, and now we're on to item four. Yeah. Whenever you want.
One thing I want to reiterate, just so that you got something in your back pocket. You're talking to whoever you talk to about trying to get our ammonia number
up. Right.
It's telling this board is very, very willing and wants to come and address their board to find out why we are. And if you want to keep that board out of here, give me some help.
All right. I'll do it.
Because they can't help you out. There's no question. We have to do it.
Yes. We have to do everything we can. But it's the lowest. I don't know of anybody around us that has a number this low. It's absolutely low.
Do your thing.
And they said because we're killing muscles. It's the muscles. Is what they're saying we're doing.
Not a big deal. Because you've got a board behind you.
All right.
Show up.
Okay.
And before we go on to that, Bernie, did you have a chance to check with the safety companies and see how if there's any interest in coming over so we can get one?
Well, I'm just getting information on what a septic receiving station costs. That's what I'm still gathering that information. I haven't talked to no particular septic company.
I would do both simultaneously, just because if we get the number and then we go and look and nobody's interested,
I just have to call around because I don't know.
If you could do that by our designation, I'd appreciate it. That gives us a little bit of a sense.
In the classic, if the cross connection you're talking about in the plants receiving septic tanks and stuff like that, and I guess some septic companies put a chemical that actually kills the bacteria and mess up the bugs in the plant.
Oh, really?
Some of the other blue stuff I'm seeing.
Oh, okay. They're my 50%. Thanks for that input here.
Sorry.
Pretty truthful. Not really knowing that.
Yeah, well, some do and some don't. So, yeah.
The some that do, if they didn't, that would lower their cost.
Well,
it
may be their disposal is requiring them to do that, and if they had a different disposal,
we may not require that because we want that.
Right.
So it might help them in their overall cost.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
So now we're on to item four, which was your item. So why don't you bring out your concerns, and then we'll talk about it and discuss the next issues.
Just the concerns on as I toured the plant.
Uh-huh.
The original plan was to have a big tank that would spill into, and at some point that tank.
The holding basin.
Yeah.
The holding basin.
And then that would flow back into the beginning of the process. What I'm concerned about is my understanding, and limited as may be, is that we're feeding that back in. So that may have been, maybe not the cause, but it didn't help the algae bloom that we have.
Yeah. Okay.
So what are we doing to fix it? If that is a potential source, then what are we doing to fix it?
All right. So this is a review of what the problem was. So everyone's on the same page. So the filters are cleaning the fine particulate, the last step out of the water, right? So little tiny pieces of beauty, little pieces of food, right? It's pulling those out, and then that's it caught in the sand. And then we wash the sand, and then we have this quantity of dirty water called reject water from the filter. And this filter is at plant 2, because I was confused about what filter we're talking about before, but this is at plant 2 on the wastewater stream. So we built in flexibility to be able to take that water several locations into the plant. One was to the lagoons that are full of algae. and then one was to directly to the oxidation bridge. Okay? And previously, historically at the plant, reject from the plant, like poor quality water for the UV or whatever, we just ran it out to lagoons, and over time they brought it back. And it's never historically been a problem. In this particular case, we started running, instead of infrequently running water out to the lagoons, we started running water daily out to the lagoons. And so water had to daily come back from lagoons into the plant. Okay? And what we found during that time is over time, very slowly over time, we started building up the algae in the plant. So algae was coming out of the lagoons into the plant. Okay? And then what we found is the filters can't handle the algae, and it created a big mess for about a month for us to figure out. So the resolution was, don't take it to the lagoons. You can take it in there infrequently, but don't take it daily to the lagoons and daily feed it back. And so daily, the reject water goes directly to the oxidation ditch. As part of the master plan, Bernie has asked the master plan team to evaluate, should it go directly in the ditch or should we bring it back to the headwaters? So that's in the master plan to be evaluated. Okay. But what is clear is we're not going to daily take that reject water and take daily flow to the lagoons to where we have a daily stream of algae that comes back. Infrequently is not a problem, but daily is a problem. Separate from that, there was a storage lagoon in front of the filters planned originally as part of the original project. We looked at the cost of that lagoon, and that's in front of the filters. It didn't have anything to do with the reject. It had to do with reducing flow to the filters under peak load conditions, okay? And we looked at what our flows are now and what that was for, and we said, you know, that is really a long-term, way down the road need for the town. And instead of spending money there, what they need is an UV system. So what we did is we switched out designing that basin, said, let's don't design this basin that we don't think you're gonna use for 20 years. And let's instead buy the UV that we know you need right now, because it was coming. You know, your permit was gonna change, and we knew you needed better UV equipment. So we bought new UV equipment instead and modified the UV channel. Okay, so there are two separate issues with, you know, there was going to be a lagoon or there was going to be a pond. You know, that was separate from the reject water issue. Okay, so under the master plan right now, what we're doing is evaluating: is it harmful to bring 24 hours a day back to the oxidation ditch? Is it worth bringing a pipe all the way back up to the headworks? You know, kind of digging a new pipe for the plant. So that's going to be evaluated, and we'll come to a disclusion on cost and benefit.
These algae problem we had last summer.
Yeah.
Was a process issue.
Yeah, the issue was we were bringing water back 24 hours a day from the lagoons, and they had algae in it. And also, it occurred in winter, not summer, but yes. And as soon as we stopped doing that, we haven't had a problem since with algae.
Yeah, because the lagoons, you have to have a 2 feet freeboard.
Yep.
And so you have to keep them at a maintained level. So water continues going back, fills them up. So the only way you get rid of that water is to put it back into the ox ditch.
Yeah.
So during that process, last December, January, we had an early
boom.
It was little.
It was hot. It got hot early.
And it bloomed, and the water was going back to the ox ditch, and then it wound up blooming in the ox ditch.
Okay, so I'm excited if what I'm hearing is that we solve the reason for that bloom.
Yeah.
This summer. The process.
Right.
So we know now that the filters won't treat algae.
So the tank isn't needed.
No. Yeah. So, but there is one process improvement that Bernie asked about. Should we bring it all the way to the front of the plant instead of right into the oxygen? So that's being evaluated as part of the master plan.
Because like I was explaining to you, anything that goes back into the decant station goes right back into our biological treatment.
Yes.
No matter what, even all our storm drains go there. So anything potentially going there and kill our bugs.
So we won't have that problem. I mean, we're confident we aren't having the problem.
Now that we know, by the way.
You can leave that action on there for future what you decide.
All right, yes.
And then,
by the way, this is a lesson that's important. We started the filter plant in August. It blew up less than January, okay? This is what we were telling people. It's like, we're starting a whole new process here with denitrification.
Yeah.
You can start it in the first month, you think you're home free, but nature's got to change around you. You've got to go through a season to know that, yes, we know how to run this plan and that we're not going to get surprised by something. Because this is an example where 6 months later we got surprised. And the only thing that got us out of paying $3,000 a day for a month, the only thing that got out of that is our permit. We had a permit technicality temporarily in our permit that got us by. Okay, but had we been online, you'd have been paying $3,000 a day times every single day until we got this thing under control. And that's why we're saying we can't take the foot off the gas on this new process change. You know, we need to give Veolia time, once we build this, to run this under our old permit before the new permit conditions come into play, so we don't get surprised by stuff like this. Because it happens. I mean, no one thought about it. It had been working, you know, we'd always done it that way and never been a problem. And then it was. You know, kind of. So that's the lesson learned there on that particular thing. And we did not get fined on that event. It was a big deal. It ran around and all that stuff. But we did not get fined on that event because of this still technicality in our permit. Okay. There you go.
Okay.
That's what we need.
Well, with that,
well, there was only one other item. I didn't see it. Maybe in the future when there's a shed for the vehicle, we can put that on some future modification of the shed to fit the truck that's too big to go in.
That would be a, is that in a CIP?
No. Yeah.
I have that as a CIP project.
Well, we can talk about it if you want. If you want to bring it up, I wasn't aware that it was.
Well,
okay.
Well,
put that on the next agenda.